two of Lions training camp, and the legend Warren Sharp is going to join us today on Locked On Lions. Let's do it.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you. Thank you for joining us and making us your first listen each and every day. It's a Thursday, July 28th, into Friday, July 29th. The voice is a little bit better than it was yesterday as I battle this cold and cough. But we appreciate you listening and watching. If you're following us on YouTube and watching on YouTube, yes, the Locked On Lions YouTube page has been here for about a month now. Check us out video-wise. Of course, follow us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and if you're on Facebook, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, where we post the podcast each and every day. Coming up, day two of Lions training camp. Not a ton of highlights today. Got a few things we want to mention, but big guest today is Warren Sharp. If anybody is into analytics and future bets and the numbers and digging deep into DVOA and all those things, go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. That's where Warren Sharp, a longtime sort of NFL numbers guy and guru, is. And he's got this new, his book out that you can download, his season preview. We're going to talk to Warren about the Lions coming up momentarily here on the show. So we're excited about that, certainly. All right, couple of notes today from day two of training camp. Again, the team is not in pads yet, but they were out there for day two in Allen Park today. Number one. I talked to a couple people today that told me the best player on the field today was James Houston, the sixth-round pick from Jackson State. Flying around, they put him on the edge a little bit, put him on the inside a little bit at linebacker, and made some plays. And that's good to hear. Sixth-round pick that you want to take a little flyer on, an athlete. I'm not sure they know where they're going to put him yet, but with Romeo Okwara out, with Josh Pascal out, maybe James Houston could be an edge rusher, Sam linebacker that can help this team. But heard good things about James Houston today, and that's a good sign, certainly, for the Lions. Again, it's day two of camp. They're not in pads yet, but just got to give him some love. First major injury of practice today occurred with running back Greg Bell, undrafted rookie free agent. It was a non-contact injury where he kind of just planted and then fell to the ground, helped off the field, and I'm sure we'll get more on that later on in the week. But Jamar Jefferson has been a little bit iffy. Had some issues catching the football out of the backfield and staying in bounds and knowing where he is over the first couple of days. And Greg Bell is a guy I know that they like that was a UDFA. He may be out a while. We'll keep you posted on that. Also today, kicking competition. The Lions had both Riley Patterson and Austin Seibert kicking four field goals from different distances. I think it was like 26, 37, 42, 49, something like that. And today, Seibert won the competition. Of course, the Lions picked him up last year from the Bengals, was the kicker for a while before he got hurt, and then the team went out and got Riley Patterson, the rookie from TCU, off of, I believe it was Dallas's practice squad. Patterson was actually pretty good toward the end of the year. Today, Seibert won the duel. He went 4 for 4. Patterson pushed one right on the chip shot, actually, and went 3 out of 4. And one of Patterson's makes today was a little bit shaky and barely made it. Seibert's were all right down the middle. So kicking competition will go on throughout the preseason to decide who is going to be the kicker. But today the victory went to Austin Seibert. Dan Campbell made it a point today to say that they are looking for defensive linemen and D tackles, that they're a little bit small up front right now at D tackle. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not going to do the topic and make this crazy, but Ndamukong Suh is still out there. And if you give him the right money, could you imagine Sue coming back? I'd be all for it. Just a thought. Throwing it out there. Lions are looking for D tackles and more D linemen. There you go. All right. We're going to talk to Warren Sharp of sharpfootballanalysis.com momentarily. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Are you ready? Delicious, indulgent. I've been telling you about this. Cookie dough. Covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. What did I do with my wrapper? My cookie dough Built Bar wrapper. It's somewhere here. I had one the other day. Fantastic. Let me introduce you to the new favorite, because this cookie dough chunk puff is unbelievable. Light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are just 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. So go to built.com, snag a box right now for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. All right? What's great about Built is all the bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. Go to the website, built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. Cookie Dough Chunk. You got to do it. And it's at built.com. Man, I'm excited about this conversation. As promised, let's talk to Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analytics. I would say the dean of NFL analytics, and his new book is out, the 2022 Football Preview, which you can get at sharpanalytics.com. Warren Sharp is here. What's up, brother?
Hey, Matt. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. You know, it was funny. A couple of weeks ago, you were on with Bill Simmons, and you were lauding the Detroit Lions. And it's like, and then people just hit me up like, oh, Warren Sharp likes the Lions. I like the people, Warren, that say, Warren Sharp says the Lions are going to win the division. I said, that's not what he said. So why not have you on to actually clarify some of this, you know, miscarriage of verbiage here? But what are your thoughts on Detroit?
I think that they're headed in the right direction. I was surprised to be in this position. I was surprised to have as much positive to say about this team, because when they brought on Dan Campbell and with the way they've been doing things for several years there, I just didn't have a lot of confidence in what I was going to be seeing in Detroit. But when I was watching the way that they were closing out their season, and when I'm looking at what they've done this past offseason, and I'm trying to figure out how does a team win games with a quarterback like Jared Goff, and I'm understanding that they're prioritizing things like a strong offensive line and creative play calling, like I think that this team is absolutely headed in the right direction.
Tell me a little bit before we go more into the Lions, but how are you different, I guess, than the other kind of numbers gurus when it comes to looking at things? And from an analytical perspective, how do the Lions maybe weigh in right now as opposed to maybe a year ago?
Well, I'm looking at, I think, I'm not sure how other number gurus approach things. What I try to do every single year that I'm writing this book for every single team that I'm looking at is I try to leave all my preconceived notions at the door. I take the entire month of February off. I try to forget all the things that I disliked or liked about a team during the course of the season. And then I approach it with a clean slate before free agency. And I start looking at, why did this team not meet their goals of last season? What were they doing wrong? Every single team, maybe it's not the most attainable goal, but wants to walk home with the Super Bowl. And there's a reason why each team was unable to do that last season. 31 teams did that. And so what weren't they good enough at? What has changed this past offseason? Was it personnel or coaching or quarterbacks or philosophies that they might try differently? And then what do I think that they're going to do this upcoming season? And so I think a team like the Lions is headed in a better path than a team like the Chicago Bears. I know that there's an advantage to having a quarterback on a rookie deal, and that's one of the things that the Lions don't have. You right. don't have a young starting quarterback on a cheap rookie deal. That being said, there's a lot to like about the rest of your roster, in my opinion. And there's enough to make me feel like this is a team. I mean, I'm not trying to say that this is a team that's that I view as the strong contender for the NFC North, nor that I view as a team that like will battle for, you know, the NFC championship game. But what I do think is that this team very well may go over their win total this year. I have not bet that yet, though. I have selected certain spots along the way where I find them in advantageous rest situations where I've already bet the Lions for different games this season. because you can do that now. You can bet, you know, all the games. Yeah. And I just think that this team is buttoned up, and I don't want to say like they're in year two of what they're trying to do here. And a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks, especially in year two, make a nice size jump. And Jared Goff is obviously not a rookie, but I think that this offense has a chance to make a nice size jump this upcoming season.
SharpFootballAnalysis.com. Warren Sharp is with us. Get his book at the website. It's worth it. Chock full of information, and we'll preview the Lions as good as anybody. You just mentioned a games that you could, you know, bet, I guess, here preseason before you even get to the regular season. But do that. What stands out? You just mentioned that. I got to ask you about it. So you see a game where you go, man,
of course.
From a rest perspective, it's advantageous. Give me an example.
Yeah, I'll share a couple. So I bet the Lions week 7 catching 7.5 points at the Dallas Cowboys. So I've already bet that one plus 7.5. They were catching over a touchdown in Dallas, and I'm a little down on the Dallas Cowboys this season, and Detroit is coming off of a bye. So Detroit plays the Patriots week 5, then they have a bye, then they go in to take on the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are just off of playing the Rams in LA, and then they play the hated rival Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. So those are two difficult games for them. And then they have to take on the Lions, who are off of a bye. I just like that spot. I think that the Cowboys front there, they've lost some players. I think you guys will be able to run the football against them and keep yourself in the game a little bit. And then the second game that I bet was Detroit catching 6.5 points at the Green Bay Packers in week 9. And some of my notes on that game, let me pull that up. One second here.
I love this. You're going to rile people up here, Warren.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers is 0-5 ATS and 2-3 straight up versus the Lions in Detroit the last 5 years. You guys led both games last year at halftime, and we know what happened in that first game. All of a sudden, it started raining, and Jared Goff with his hand issue, hand size, like the ball wasn't working for him in the second half of that game, and the Packers reel off a bunch of points. And of course you lose that game and don't even cover it. It's also the Packers' third straight road game in 3 weeks after playing Buffalo in Buffalo the prior week, with Buffalo coming off of a bye. So that's just another good spot for you guys. In my opinion, it's your second consecutive home game. It's a game before you head out to the road against the Chicago Bears. I think that's a good spot. So I backed you once on the road in Dallas, catching 7.5. I backed you once at home against the Packers. And those are, except for a game against the Bills, those are your two toughest games of the year. So I am buying you guys against some of the toughest opponents of the year. And some people might be like, why wouldn't you want to bet them at week 4 at home against the Seahawks, or, you know, against the Jets, or somebody that's not supposed to be good, against maybe the Jaguars. But I'm enjoying catching the points. You guys have the right philosophy offensively to try to battle back in games, keep games close. We need you to have more drives that start the game or start the third quarter that are successful. I forget the statistic right now, but it was like you've had the most turnover on downs on drives to either start the game or start the second half.
Yeah.
Of any team in the last, like, 10 years at least.
The first possession of the second half is always a disaster for the Lions, going back to Jim Caldwell's days, and those were a couple of playoff teams. You're right about that. I like that. I think that's interesting. You mentioned Goff before. Are you a big fan, not a fan, somewhat? Where are you on him?
I am of the belief that if you're managing his upside well and trying not to ask him to do things he's not good at, you're going to get decent results. He is no worse than a replacement level player in those situations. So I think that I was actually surprised. That was one of the things I was surprised with, because Goff came from the Rams working with Sean McVay, who is a genius at trying to figure out what to do with his quarterback and how to move him around and that type of thing, and how to call plays to their strength and try to minimize and hide their weaknesses. And I just, like, he's coming to Dan Campbell's offense here. Like, I just don't know that we're going to see the same savviness of that play caller and of this offensive staff, but I was definitely surprised. This was a much more efficient passing attack when Dan Campbell took over play calling. And like early, they were using more early down play action. They were getting the ball down the field a little bit better. They had more yards after the catch. And you know, I do think that there are things to improve. I think that they need to, especially on play action, stop throwing the ball short. Like one of the things I write about in the book is how they are throwing so many passes on play action at or behind the line of scrimmage. And the whole reason that you're trying to utilize play action is to fool the linebackers and the rest of the secondary who's got eyes on the quarterback to bite, either to hesitate or to actually move forward a little bit. And then you're throwing the ball over those linebackers' heads or somewhere down in the middle of the field where those receivers now have an edge over the defender. If you're using play action to suck the defense up and then you're allowing them to just keep running forward because you threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, that really does not take advantage of what play action is designed to do. So I think that there are improvements and they definitely utilize a lot of play action, so they could improve in that regard.
I want to ask Warren about this defense. We dove into the offense a little bit in Jared Goff. Let's talk defense coming up next. Warren Sharp is with me, Sharp Football on Twitter, at Sharp Football, sharpfootballanalysis.com. To get his book, amazing website, and the book is right there on the front page to download and order. Warren does a great job of previewing everybody, not just the Lions that he mentioned before. He sees Detroit. Let me ask you this. Do you see Detroit, and I don't want to give away everything in the book, but do you see them ahead of Minnesota, behind Minnesota? Obviously, you have them ahead of Chicago, right?
I definitely am ahead of Chicago, and that's the difficult part when I'm trying to figure out what is their ceiling. We talked about it a little bit before. It's like, I think they're going to be a good team. I think they're going to be a fun team on a week-to-week basis. I love them as underdogs this year. I see Green Bay taking a slight step back, but I don't see Detroit moving up to that level. This is a Green Bay team, after all. No team in NFL history had a coach come in and win 13 games for three straight years, his first 3 years in the building. So he's doing something right in Green Bay. And even without Adams, like, how many wins is this team going to have? Probably more than the Lions. Minnesota, though, that's the interesting argument, because I'm actually big on Minnesota. I found myself this offseason wanting to be big on Minnesota and Detroit. In some way, shape, or form, I like both of these teams. But Minnesota, I think, has the path towards more wins. I don't like their offensive line as much as I like yours, but they're changing so much of their philosophy this offseason with kicking Mike Zimmer to the curb and utilizing the younger, more fun, more modern style of passing the football more on early downs, throwing the ball a little bit more. And you guys have seen him by playing against him, not that you've been in this situation so much, but like when you let Kirk Cousins throw the ball in the second half of games, and that team is trailing, like, Minnesota's getting back into games. Minnesota is fighting with you. Minnesota is able to put up points. They just were so reluctant to be aggressive through the air with their passing attack in the first quarter of games, in the first half of games. And I think that now that Kevin O'Connell's in there calling plays and they're doing more things that are aggressive offensively through the air this upcoming season, that's going to help their defense too in the second half of games, because they're going to be playing with leads more frequently. Mike Zimmer's philosophy was always, at least appeared to me, like, let's keep this game close. Let's throw the ball. Let's keep my defense rested. My defense will look better when they're sitting on the sideline, resting a lot, and then they can come in and they're fresh. The reality is, though, not saying I'm smarter than Mike Zimmer, but the reality is the way to make your defense look good is when they know what plays are more likely to come. And you know what plays are more likely to come when you're playing with a lead in the third and fourth quarter of games. And you know that that quarterback's going to have to be dropping back a high rate of time. You can rush the passer more frequently, get more sacks, get more interceptions. This is exactly how the New England Patriots are getting so many takeaways, or the Dallas Cowboys are getting so many takeaways. It's once they've established leads and then the opposing quarterbacks are in these desperate situations where they have to throw the ball late in games, and it's easy to get these interceptions. And so Mike Zimmer never believed in that. He wanted to control the game and keep his defense rested and healthy. So I think when you lift that restrictor plate off of the Minnesota Vikings offense this year, it's going to help their defense some too. So that's where, like, I still, like, I bet the Minnesota Vikings over 8.5 wins this year. So I think they're going to win at least 9 games. Your win total is at 6.5. I think there's a very good chance you exceed 6.5 wins. I think if you are able, what I'm more interested in doing with a team like yours is, if you are able to turn things from like a bad record to a winning record, what are some of the upsides that could happen there? Okay, let's take a long shot for the Lions to make the playoffs. Let's take a long shot on Dan Campbell to win Coach of the Year. Like, let's take some of these more long shot bets, and then I'm going to pick and choose some of the games during the season that I like to bet where I don't need you guys to win 7, 8, or 9 games to go over a win total. I just need you to cover 7.5 points against the Cowboys coming off of a bye. Those are the types of things. And there's enough that, like, there's enough meat on the bone here that I think with a couple of changes offensively, you are going to be able to improve some things. One of the things that I'm just looking up as I'm scanning through the book here is Jared Goff splits when passing from 11 personnel based on the box count. Like, you need to give him – this is something that I think would make the biggest impact for your entire offense and probably your entire team this season is – one of the things that Sean McVay did really well, we remembered this when the Rams went to the Super Bowl and we're hearing about all of the things that Sean McVay's doing. He's talking in the headset to Jared Goff up to the 15-second mark, and he's telling him exactly what he wants to do. And why is he doing that? Well, what's the benefit for that? Well, he's seeing what the defense is already doing. And so one of the things that I think you guys need to do a better job of is if that box is loaded, if there's 7-plus defenders in that box trying to stop your run, we got to throw the football in these situations, and we don't want to be passing the ball as much when the defense is playing back and playing for the pass. We want to run the ball. We've got a good O-line. Let's run the ball in those situations. And so when I look at up to 6 box defenders in the first 3 quarters of games, when Jared Goff is passing the football, that means there's less box defenders up to 6, so 5 or 6, and more players playing back, playing the pass. Goff is 42% success, 6.2 yards per attempt, minus 0.17 EPA per attempt. But when there's 7 or more box defenders there, so they're playing the run, Jared Goff is plus 0.39 EPA per attempt, 8.2 yards per attempt, up from 6.2, which was 5th best in the NFL, and 45% success. So, you know, there is meat there. Just tweak some things about Jared Goff at the line of scrimmage. Give him a little bit more control over pass versus run based upon the look that the defense is showing your given personnel deployment. And I think the upside is going to be even higher.
Final thing, give me a minute. Defense. What do you think? The addition certainly of Aiden Hutchinson, a lot of guys coming back, re-upping Tracy Walker. Where do you see this Lions defense and how much better can they be than obviously a year ago, scoring defense wise, they gave up, they were, you know, 31st in the league.
I think that the number one thing that everybody wants to look at defenses and say, what is our defense? Who is our personnel? Who is our coach? All of those things. And of course, like, I think your personnel is slightly improved this year, but the number one thing that affects a defense more so than any of that is, well, obviously not more than the personnel, but like the very next closest thing, 1B, let's say, is who do you play? Who do you play has a big factor in how your defense is going to look. And last year you played the 5th most difficult schedule of opposing pass offenses. This year I'm forecasting it's going to drop all the way down to 18th. So better than average schedule of opposing pass offenses. And you were playing a top 5 schedule last season. So I think you are going to look a little bit better this year. Also, look at some of these quarterbacks that you're going to be going up against. They're a little bit on the younger, greener side of things this upcoming season. Yeah. That is music to a defensive coordinator's ears because you can play a lot of games. You can do a lot of things at the line of scrimmage. You can have some sim pressures and then drop back, or you can send your guys. You have what's growing to be a little bit of a formidable group of players that can get after the quarterback. And so from that respect, like, even more of a reason, Matt, because you're playing weaker quarterbacks, to emphasize getting a lead quickly. We need the Lions to come out in games more aggressively to try to get these leads, throw the ball when they're playing the run on early downs and first down, let Jared Goff get the ball to these receivers in space. Let's try to score points. Let's try to build a lead and make life easier on our defense in the second half of games when we're playing worse quarterbacks and we have a better pass rush and we have a stronger defense that we believe in more, so they can get after the quarterback in known passing situations far more frequently. We don't want the Lions like scratching and clawing and trying to like get back at games in the third and fourth quarter. I know it's fun.
That's all last year was, Warren.
Yeah. It's like the cardiac kids are trying to get back. Like, I know that's like makes games exciting, but like, let's try to focus on leading at the first half. I think far too few coaches care as much about that as I do, but the data certainly reflects that those leads at halftime are very useful to have and are going to really get you in the right direction for having success on offense and defense in that second half, because you're going to reduce the predictability of what your offense is going to be doing. You're increasing the predictability about the opposing offense. And that would be the recipe for me to see you guys hit that 8-9 win mark, is if you are getting out faster and emphasizing that and then letting your defense have an easier time in the second half of games.
You heard the man, folks, the King of Analytics for the NFL, Warren Sharp, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Get that book right now. It's great stuff, and he's bullish on the Lions. Warren, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Matt.
There he is, Warren Sharp with us. That's a Thursday edition of Locked on Lions.